Welcome to American Dissident Voices. I'm Kevin Alfred Strom. There is growing awareness of the Jewish problem among our people. It's hard to hide the fact that Trump has surrounded himself with Jewish handlers, advisors, and money men. Even Forbes magazine openly admits and even publishes charts showing that practically all of the top multi-million dollar donors to the war hag, also known as Hillary Clinton, are Jews. Although more than minimally literate people are now the minority in this country, there are still millions of them, and they notice these things. They can't help but notice that Jews constitute an overclass. They have higher average intelligence than the rest of the population, and getting proportionately higher still, as the dullest kinds of humans are being imported by the millions. They are, by far, the richest ethnic group. They have effective control of the mass media, and therefore of the minds of the majority, and therefore also of the democratic political process. And they control money creation in this country, and therefore can, almost without effort or work, seize a huge proportion of the nation's wealth without fear of prosecution, and use a large part of that seized wealth to solidify their overclass position. But the people who see that, and thank the gods for them, disagree on just what exactly we're dealing with when we say the Jewish problem. Some of these people say it's a religious problem. Just disabuse the Jews of Judaism, and the Jewish supremacism that goes along with it will disappear too, some say. Jews will then become like any other people, they believe. Some others disagree and say there is something special in the Jewish bloodline that makes them the way they are. That makes sense, since Jews who've abandoned Judaism make up a huge percentage of Zionists, fanatical Jewish leftists and cultural Marxists, Jewish bankers and financiers, and especially media Jews. But giving up Judaism, or treating it like a quaint set of cultural traditions at best, doesn't seem to have affected their tribalism, their hyper-ethnocentrism, and predatory behavior. In fact, if anything, the Jews at the apex of the overclass seem to be the least religious of all Jews, though there are some exceptions. But some of these people who make sense, who see the Jews as a people apart with a distinct bloodline that makes them different from all other peoples, then proceed to ruin the good impression they've made on me by sending me bizarre charts and graphs with pictures of Babylonian statues and old 19th century Bible maps with superimposed stars of David and arrows pointing every which way to the names of various Hebrew tribes of the Old Testament, Esau, Edom, Judah, and incorporating quoted verses from the Jews' own Torah, and claiming that all this proves that today's Jews aren't really Jews, and that we Europeans are the true Hebrews, or something like that. Please, if any of you are listening, don't send me any more of this stuff. I stopped believing that anything at all can be proved by quoting verses from the nonsensical Hebrew Bible back in the 1970s. This kind of thinking by good awakening people is a result, I think, of a collision. A collision between the reality of Jewish supremacism and childhood programming that tells these good folks that the Jews' Bible is holy and inerrant. They've figured out the toxicity of the Jews, but they just can't emotionally accept the fact that the Jewish scriptures are toxic too. The result is a train wreck of ahistorical religious nonsense that is no help at all. Even so, though, the bloodline people are onto something. There's a truth there. The Jewish problem exists because the Jews are a distinct, very different kind of people compared to us and compared to almost any other people on planet Earth. What the bloodline people are missing is a realistic, scientific, biological outlook on humanity, and indeed encompassing all of life itself, an outlook that we in the National Alliance call biocentric, which simply means life-centered. In short, we see everything about humans and human groups and human societies as biological in its essence. We of the white European race are a life form, a species, in fact, a distinct subspecies that is evolving in its own unique way, in a direction different from any other kind of life and any other kind of human. And so are the Jews. Their history is different from ours, very different. As a consequence, the natural selection to which they have been subjected is not the same as the natural selection to which we have been subjected. And this has caused their DNA code to be different as well. These differences in DNA make for differences in appearance, as everyone knows, but they also cause differences in mentality, personality, instinct, behavior, and group survival mechanisms. Culture and religion themselves are a result of DNA interacting with the circumstances in which each people finds itself. Over the very long term, our DNA itself is sculpted by those circumstances, because gene patterns that can't deal well with current realities tend to die out, while those that have what it takes to survive in a given environment tend to proliferate. Thus, one can say that our genetic code is almost a kind of transmissible memory of the environment and way of life of the ancestors of our race. Our race, the white race, evolved in the harsh environment, the forests, plains, mountains, and wide open spaces of Europe and environs over long, long ages, including centuries of intense cold, in which intelligent planning was absolutely necessary to survive the winter. In the last few dozen thousands of years, we evolved in relatively fixed dwelling places that eventually came to be called countries, attached to particular pieces of land on a continent of very low population density, in which the main enemies were the elements and other warlike tribes. High abstract intelligence and high trust societies were prominent among the biological evolutionary results. the primary skills of conflict were the martial virtues. One's enemies were warring tribes who attacked openly, sword in hand. The Jews, on the other hand, are a largely Semitic and largely nomadic hybrid race of much more recent appearance that emerged in the relatively heavily populated, multiracial, multicultural, and polyglot Middle East, where the climate was much milder, and the main problem, for the Jews at least, was surviving and prospering as a small, stateless group in territories ruled by others. High verbal intelligence and a concealed dual moral code, one for dealing with fellow Jews and another for dealing with the non-Jews in whose societies they lived, were the prominent biological evolutionary results. Their primary skills of conflict were negotiation, diplomacy, pretense, duplicity, mimicry, and reading the psychology of their enemies, who were very seldom sword-wielding invading armies, but rather were the omnipresent non-Jewish peasants and warriors and priests and tradesmen and rulers among whom they lived and off of whom they fed. The European race evolved into a mode of life that involved living off the land, as did many other races and peoples. The Jews, on the other hand, evolved into a mode of life that involved living off those who lived off the land. There is a name for the relationship between Jews and people like us. That name is parasitism. It's a biological term. There are many examples of parasitic relationships, of relationships between parasites and their hosts in nature, including parasites that are closely related to their hosts. In fact, parasites can be found among almost every kind of living being that exists. So it should hardly be surprising that a human group has evolved to fill the parasitic niche. In future American Dissident Voices programs, I'll explore this concept of parasitism as it applies to our present situation, and the important insights that concept can give us in our struggle for survival and progress in the future. Today, I want to use the last few minutes of my program to tell you about the amazing, incomparable music of Dresden's Call of the Blood. We are very proud to offer this 20th anniversary edition of the very best white racialist popular music ever produced, Dresden's Call of the Blood. The album has been digitally remastered in lush high-fidelity sound and is offered in a beautiful, professionally produced new edition. Call of the Blood is nothing like typical skinhead or white power music. It is powerful, progressive rock, somewhat reminiscent of the British band Yes. It is melodic and lyrical and is written and performed with absolute professionalism. Its 17 tracks are written from a radical white nationalist and national socialist viewpoint. You have never heard anything quite like it in your life. Listen to this sample.
From icy mountains to margin of sand, we've dreamed a dream of what must be. So open your mind and heaven you'll see. Open your
sad, oh so sad, but no one complains.
This amazing new album includes a full lyric sheet with notes and handsome new full-color cover art never seen before by the artist Alfred Sundvall, who also created the art for the first edition of this monumental work. The extremely talented songwriter and leader of Dresden, Joe Price, unselfishly donated this masterwork to the reconstituted National Alliance under Will Williams, and we are honored by his gift. The artist, Alfred Sundvall, who has sometimes produced work under the nom de guerre, The Unknown Artist, donated the painting which graces the cover of this CD to the Alliance. It shows a white woman on a high summit, gazing out over a fog-filled infinity of mountains and valleys, not unlike the view from Pierce Point on the Alliance's land in West Virginia, which our founder William Pierce loved so much. The cover art was inspired by Dr. Pierce's favorite painting, Caspar Friedrich's The Wanderer Above the Mists. This excellent music makes a great recruiting tool. Music reaches a part of the soul that reason cannot touch. By purchasing this CD, you will also have the satisfaction of supporting the National Alliance, American Dissident Voices, and the National Alliance Radio Network. You can get your copy of Call of the Blood for $16, or get 5 copies of the CD for $50 by writing to our postal address, Box 172, Laurel Bloomery, Tennessee, 37680, USA, or make checks payable to National Vanguard Books, or order online by visiting natall.com/music. That's natall.com/music. You've been listening to American Dissident Voices, the radio program of the National Alliance, founded by William Luther Pierce in 1970. This program is published every week at whitebiocentrism.com and nationalvanguard.org. You can join and support us by visiting natall.com. That's natall.com. Or write to National Alliance, Box 172, Laurel Bloomery, Tennessee, 37680, USA. We welcome your support, your inquiries, and your help in spreading our message of hope to our people. Once again, that address is Box 172, Laurel Bloomery, Tennessee, 37680, USA. Until next week, this is Kevin Alfred Strom reminding you to never give up.
For blood and for soil, we will work, we will toil. Heaven is born on the earth. The heroes arise as we shout to the skies. We will now have our rebirth.